Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. You will find this just barely starting on page 1642 of your pew Bibles. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. That some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. But him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish are you? And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he broke bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us, talked with us on the road, and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and said, "It is true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. John's first letter really influenced my thinking as I thought about this passage. Is it going to pick me up? Brian, can you turn me up just a shade? Thank you. Okay. Can you hear me okay? All right, good. John's first letter really influenced me, and it's not even a great swath of the letter, just three words. Three words from the fourth chapter. God is love. And I found myself asking a question that I couldn't find the answer to until I thought of those three words, God is love. And the question I asked is, how do we know God? How do we know God in our hearts? How do we know God as a matter of our faith and a matter of our life? And if you use that truth from the first letter of John, God is love, then the question becomes, how do we know love? because God is love. How do we know love in our hearts? How do we know love in our lives? How do we see and know God? How do we see and know love? As these two disciples are walking along the road and the stranger appears before them, they do not recognize him. To them, he is just a stranger, just a random dude who happened upon them. Nothing special. But they're having this serious conversation because something bad has happened to them. They're in this state of distress. They don't know how to handle what has happened. And the stranger is like, what? Like, nothing can be this bad. Nothing can be this serious. And they're like, do you not know? How do you not know? Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who just does not know what happened? The man that we believed was saving us, the prophet, the powerful teacher, they killed him. They condemned him falsely, and they killed him. And now we are alone, wondering what will happen. We do not know. We do not understand. We had hoped that he was coming to save us. They had that image of sword Jesus that so many of the zealots had, that they thought that the Messiah was going to come with the sword to kill all their enemies. Again, that warrior image that we love. And he did the exact opposite. He died. And Jesus is like, were you not listening? Did you not hear what this man told you? Because, of course, he couldn't reveal himself yet. Did you not hear? And so he taught them. He walked along with them. He gave them a lesson, an amazing walking sermon where it deepened their faith. And the scriptures, as it says, they were opened to them. They learned so much about what they believed and about their God. And they learned, unlearned probably, what they had been taught by their teachers. An amazing sermon. Just lovely teaching. They grew so much along that road. But they did not see him. They did not know him. They did not recognize him as he taught them. How do we know God? How do we know these two disciples did not know God standing right beside them as God taught them. I believe in the goodness of preaching. I believe in the necessity of preaching. And if I didn't, I would quickly find myself without a job. We need good teaching and good preaching. We grow through learning and teaching. I am hoping today, though tired and not quite sure of myself, that something I say to you will teach you about God, will deepen your faith, will strengthen your relationship. You will learn. I will fulfill my calling as a teaching elder. You will learn something. And I know that a loving and good sermon strengthen your relationship with God. But I do not believe if you have not been shown God, have not known love, have not known God, that my words will mean nothing. they will fall on deaf ears. You need something to bring you into that relationship. I know that I have been beating the evangelism requires relationship drum a lot recently. I'm gonna keep banging on it. I could go out there and give the best sermon of my career, which would not happen today, but I could if I went out there and gave the best sermon of my career, the best words that ever came out of my mouth, and people who have not known God, people who have rejected God, people who do not believe, if they heard me, they would not care. It would mean nothing to them. I would just be a crazy guy preaching on a street corner. It would mean nothing. For those in relationship, absolutely, it would be wonderful. But those who do not know God, it would mean nothing. How did those disciples know Jesus? How did they recognize Jesus? He walked with them, he talked with them, he taught them, he revolutionized their faith, but they still did not recognize him. But they come to Emmaus, and it's the end of the day, and Jesus does that thing where he's like, I'm going to keep going, but I don't know if I want to. And as good, hospitable people, they were like, stop, you're not going to continue going. It's late, we have room, we have food. Come stay with us. Come join us. Rest, start again tomorrow. And so they go. And they take their seats at the table to share a meal together. And Jesus offers a prayer and gives them bread. And in that moment of being given bread, that moment of having something shared with you, a loving act, not teaching, not preaching, not proselytizing, not beating them over the head, even in a loving way, with whatever lesson they needed to learn, that did not teach them. But in this moment where he just broke bread with them, not in a place of honor, not as an honored guest, but just as somebody who traveled with them. Then their eyes were opened and they saw him. It was not in all of that preaching and teaching that they recognized him. It was at the table as they broke bread together. How do you think that we should share the good news with those who do not know God? Do you think that we should become street preachers? Yelling at people, telling them that if they don't turn away, they're going to end up in hell. Do you think that's an effective method of evangelism? I'm asking an answer. Listen, thank you. Thank you. I realize that sounded rhetorical, and it kind of was, but I really needed to hear you all say that. That is not an effective form of evangelism. Do you think that entertaining people, bringing them in with rocking music and relevant preaching, trying not to name the church, but you all know who I'm talking about, do you think that is going to allow them to know God, to know love? Because again, one and the same. Will that allow them to know love by entertaining them? No, it will teach them about God. It will deepen faith if they know God already. It might get them in the door. But that does not allow them to know love if they do not already know it. Evangelism does not work without relationship. Entertainment does. We could become an entertaining church. I think we have enough people here, we could become an entertaining church. We could grow explosively, put all of our chips on the table and just give some of these, give an entertaining church a run for its money, but that's not who we are. We are relationship. We are not, we do the teaching. We do the discipleship. But we do not bring people in and let them know God through just that. We do that through our relationship, our breaking of bread, our giving of ourselves. Think about how you know God in this congregation. Is it because I'm an amazing preacher? I'll answer your question. Not an amazing preacher, so can't be through my amazing preaching. I'm a good preacher, wouldn't call myself amazing. Is it my preaching and the lay leader reading that lets you know God, or is it the people here that embrace you? Is it the love here that allows you to know God? Thank you for answering my rhetorical question. So may that be our evangelism. If you know God, then yes, absolutely, I want to preach to you and get paid to preach to you. But if you don't know God, you don't know love. The only way that you can know love is by receiving love. So may that be our method of evangelism, relationship, and love. In the name of God, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.